Isaiah chapter 40, and this really is a continuation of thoughts that Armin Tomasian started yesterday. So we were in Matthew chapter 11 yesterday, and he, Armin, spoke along the lines of three words: learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, but learn of me. And his emphasis, again, was not learn facts about me, but learn who I am. Learn experientially of me. Enjoy me. Follow me. So it's a personal relationship of learn of me. And so when he was speaking, and as I was meditating on that, those truths following, I couldn't help but think of this text in Isaiah chapter 40. And we probably, most of us know the words, know the text in verse 31, where we find, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And I've always been intrigued by that word wait. Because the word wait there, wait upon the Lord, is not like going to a hospital or a doctor's office and sitting there and feeling maybe like you have been overlooked and so you are waiting, or you need more urgent care than what they want to give and so you are impatiently waiting. Maybe you're even thinking, this office could be run a whole lot better than it is right now, and I am having to wait. Well, that's really not what this word wait means. The word wait actually has to do with binding two items together and joining two items. So it could be the matter of binding by twisting is actually, if you were to go to a Strong's Concordance and look at the definition of the word, it has to do with binding two items together, even by twisting. And then some other helps would even say that at some point you wonder where one starts and the other ends, that there's almost an inseparable bond between the two. And this is the idea of waiting. So wait upon the Lord. Bind yourself to the Lord. Become inseparable from the Lord. So who is it then that Isaiah says we ought to be bound to, and that we are to learn of, and that we are to adore and enjoy? If we were to back up a few verses in Isaiah chapter 40 to verse 28, we find some fascinating words. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? But the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, wait upon the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So if you were to study the context of this passage, you're going to see that the Jews, God's people, were being reduced in number. In fact, they would be considered a remnant. They were few in number. And contrary to that, the Gentile nations seem to be multiplying, and they seem to be greater in power. Even their armies, the Gentile cultural armies, made it look like their gods were stronger than Israel's God. And Isaiah here is saying, no, God is greater than anything on earth. God is greater than anything in heaven. Nothing is equal to God. And if nothing is equal to God, then nothing can be even greater than God. So basically Isaiah is saying, when you look at the culture, when you look at the dangers, when you look at the darkness, Remember, when you're tempted to think that the culture is greater than God, remember verse 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, or a drop from a bucket, we would say, or a drop in a bucket, you might say. The nations compared to God are nothing, nothing compared to God. Verse 22, it is he that sitteth on the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. So when you look at the culture and you get discouraged and you think, woe is me, and that happens, and our culture is very ominous and our culture is very dark, but we can rejoice that even the armies of our adversaries are like a drop in the bucket compared to the armies of God. And they are like grasshoppers before him. And so our God is powerful. And this is the waiting on the Lord. This is the focusing. This is the learn of me. God is powerful, but he's also personal. Verse 26 says, lift up your eyes, your personal eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them by names, by the greatness of his might. So here's a picture, and I think you would, I don't remember what author I was reading that painted this picture, but it's a common picture. If you take a telescope and you look through the wrong end of the telescope, things look small on the other side of the telescope. If you look at God through your circumstances, God's going to look afar off. He's going to look small. He will seem very, very far away. But if you rightly look at your circumstances through God, then the circumstances will seem small compared to the greatness of God. So learn of me. Wait upon the Lord. Twist yourselves around the Lord. Be in his word. This is how we abide in Christ. Even Andrew Murray has a book, or he's with the Lord, but his book titled With Christ in the School of Prayer. It's a fascinating book. And as I thought of our praying family today, I thought, we are a school of prayer. We're much stronger with the Lord now after more than 200 days of meeting than we were 200 days earlier. This is a school of prayer, a school of strength, if you will. This is focusing and learning of the Lord, waiting upon the Lord. It's twisting our lives around the Lord, and we're meditating on these texts. And I would encourage you to take the texts that are presented on a daily basis. We could call this daily bread, and meditate on these things. Abide in Christ, and we're going to find that we're waiting upon the Lord, and our renewed strength, our strength will be renewed, even in an oppressive culture, a dark land where there is no water. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 63, we can mount up with wings as eagles. Now, there's another word here which is really interesting, because the word renew, we often think of like recharging a battery. Renew your strength. But the idea here is of like abolishing one and going to another, or the word change. It would be like the New Testament picture of taking off a garment and putting on another garment. Putting off and putting on. So it's an exchange of strength. It's our strength is insufficient, so we set that aside. God's strength is sufficient, and we take that on. And we do that by waiting upon the Lord. Waiting upon the Lord. Learn of me. So his abundant strength is evident as we wait on the Lord. And then we don't have time for this. I just figured I would talk until the timer tells me I'm out of time. But if you if you want to do something that's just a lot of fun, think about the wings of eagles. And this came to mind earlier this week as somebody was praying, and I got off the prayer call and I made a list of what bird wings do. And this is all a result of waiting on the Lord. Okay, we wait on the Lord, and we will mount up with wings as eagles. So wings sustain a bird and carry a bird. The wings sense temperature and sense wind currents in the atmosphere and the culture. We do that by waiting on the Lord. The wings will eventually deliver the bird where the bird needs to go. And one of these days, as we're waiting on the Lord, God's going to put us right in heaven. And we will mount up with wings as eagles. We shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So John chapter 15 says this, he that abideth in me, and I in him, so he waits, he twists himself with the Lord, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. So dear praying family, I challenge us to wait upon the Lord and enjoy and adore our great God.